This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
You are whose you are, who you are, and what God has planned for you, and to know that no matter what happens, fret not yourself. Everything can be shaken, but because Jesus is in your boat, in your life, the Creator life is in you, you are going to make it to the next level and to many more thereafter. He's much more than a spiritual leader. He's multidimensional and real in the flesh Renaissance man. He presides over the amazing Potter's House of Dallas, which is a non-denominational global church with well over 30,000 members with campuses around the United States. His voice rallies Christians from every denomination, every culture, every continent, so that we are one big family up under the guidance of this great light that God has sent. He's a thought leader. And in his thought leadership, every time he gets up to speak, what happens is this. We enter the chambers of his thought processes and we're brought into riveting captivity to the word of the Almighty God. Friends, he has been counselor to several United States presidents. He is by Oprah Winfrey called America's treasure. He's by Time magazine known as America's best preacher, and we concur. He has been instrumental in growing the space for powerful faith-based content in the media and entertainment industry, including film, television, radio, publishing, podcasts, a self-titled talk show. Friends, will you receive Nathaniel Bassey as he blows the trumpet for about 60 seconds as we receive Bishop Thomas Dexter James?
I am deeply honored and grateful to be in this place. I don't know that I've ever had quite an introduction like that. I kind of felt like we have a movie in America called Rocky. I kind of felt like I should have on some boxing shorts and come out like Rocky, you know. It was beautiful. It was a reflection of your beautiful heart and your kind spirit. And it would be negligent of me not to acknowledge extreme hospitality that has been bestowed upon us, not just me, but all of our guests here at House on the Rock. It is not everyone who invites you that knows how to treat you. We are deeply honored for your hospitality. A gift always says something about the giver, and we honor Pastor and Lady Ada Ferris in their respective places, and the entire House on the Rock, and all of Lagos, and all of you that are watching online, thank you for logging in. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's make them welcome. Well, it's time to go to work. Let us go to the book of Hebrews. Let us look at the 6th chapter, the 15th through the 20th verse in the NIV. And if you want to make me really comfortable, please stand. The worship has already been amazing. If we left out right now, we have been in the presence of God. To luxuriate in His presence is a glorious experience that was once reserved only for the angelic. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and yet you have crowned him with honor and glory. I pray the time will never come that we will be presumptuous like the disciples and be in the presence of Jesus and be so focused on who's going to sit on the right and the left that we do not acknowledge him. And God would have to bring in a woman with an alabaster box to show us how to appreciate the God that we serve. If you are glad to be in his presence this morning, give him your highest. Lord, with trembling lips and bowed heads on frail knees and temporal bodies, these terrestrial tabernacles have gathered together in your place to behold the wonder of your glory. All we need to do is hear from you, and we will be satisfied. Unroll the scroll. Unravel the apocalypse. Reveal yourself through the text today, as only you can do. For thine is kingdom, the power, and the glory forevermore. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Now, pray me through as we go into the sixth chapter of Hebrews, verse 15 through 20. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Shuts it down. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable, King James says, immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope. We have it right now. As an anchor. Remember last night? As an anchor. Remember last night? As an anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the people said, amen. I want to talk to you about a secure mind. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. On your way down, tell your neighbor, I got a secure mind. Yeah, it doesn't shake. It doesn't break. It doesn't alter. I have a secure mind. In times like these, that's quite a gift. Not everyone who looks like they are sane are in fact sane. Pressure. Trauma, adversity, uncertainty
has eroded the banks of the human mind and left it compromised in many cases to the point that it is difficult to discern mental health from demonic influence. Such are the times that we are living in today. Allow me to share with you, I am the youngest of three children. I don't look young, but my sister, if she were here, she would call me her baby brother, much to my embarrassment. I said, I'm 66. How can I be your baby brother? She said, because I'm 71. He'll never catch up with me. My brother is 72. He's 7 years older than I am, and he was in many ways the apple of my father's eye. My father was drafted to the Cleveland Browns as a football star. He was big and bulky, broad shoulders. He loaned them to me. I didn't have to work for him. I just inherited them. Thank you, Jesus. His shoulders were as broad as a highway. His chest stood out like a young roe. He was strong as a lion. He was swift of feet, agile, He-Man, hulkish, bulkish, and strong, as was my brother right beneath him. But I was just a toddler, toddling along behind them, feeling a bit intimidated because they were so good at sports and athletes and strength and working out and doing all of these things with balls and basketballs. And I was just a child, just merely passed the bottle. And I didn't realize who I was because I could not see myself like them, because the only strength that had been modeled in front of me was physical strength. It was years before I would come to realize that my greatest strength, though strong outwardly, does not compare to my inner strength. The tenacity, the will, the gut, the grit, the might, the force it takes to stand is not easy. I soon would realize that the outer man, no matter how robust it is, will begin to fade away. And though the outer man perishes, the inner man is renewed by day to day to day. And yet I see us spending so much time fixing up the temporal at the expense of the eternal. At the end of the day, what God wants us to have is a kind of strength in your soul that does not break up under the pressure of the times that we are living in. Can I get a good amen? You must understand that when God created man, he had an agenda in mind, not just that he wanted to populate the earth, but that he longed to see himself. And as far as I can tell, there are no mirrors in heaven. So when God got ready to make the first mirror, he made Adam. And said, and I quote, "Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness, after our own kind." In other words, I want to see myself. And so God, who said, "Let us make man," made Adam. Adam. Not just Adam as a man, anatomically a man or a male or a gender. He made a prototype of himself. And man was the only thing that God created that he commented on and corrected and said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Let's go old English and say all one. It is not good for man to be all one. But man existed for as all one for a while. He existed, he moved, he led, he reigned, he had a job, he had a position. All one, there was not a suitable helpmeet found for him. So God, vowing never to reach into the dirt and start over again, takes that which is in the hand of the potter and makes it again another vessel by pulling out of the womb of man, the womb man. And he called her woman, and it was good. All the men say amen. So man comes out of the womb of God, and woman comes out of the womb of man, and the family comes out of the womb of the woman. And so the perpetuation continues from generation to generation, all in an endeavor to express the I Am of Israel, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. It takes all of us to represent him in the earth. When God says Elohim, Elohim, him plural, El singular, when the singular God who manifests himself in a pluralistic amount of ways says, let us make man, he does not compromise his oneness to include his diversity, and yet he says, let us make man, and he creates one man, as I stand before you, one man. But all you see is a third of that one man. For if all you see of me is my body, you have seen the weakest part of me. My body just happens to be the house that I live in, the clothes that I wear. If this mortality should put on immortality, let you know that this mortal garment that I'm wrapped in is temporal and corroding while I'm wearing it, because I am not my clothes. Chocolate as it may be, this temporal human suit that I wear is the house that my spirit lives in. I am a spirit. I'm not just spiritual. I am a spirit. Say that with me. I am a spirit. In essence, you're saying, God, God, I am a spirit. Who shall I say sent me? I am. When you say I am, you're talking about him. Undefinable, inconceivable, incomprehensible, beyond imagination. Defined description. I am Yahweh. I am whatever I want to be, whenever I want to be, because I'm God all by myself. Nobody elected me. Nobody appointed me. Nobody can disappoint me. I am God all by myself. When you say I am, you're talking about God. I am. That's why you got to be careful what you put at the end of I am. Because you have to say something positive at the end of I am. You cannot say I am weak, I am broke, I am sick, I am ugly, I am defeated, I am insufficient, I am incapable, I am an imposter. No, you can't say that after I am, because I am is God. I am. I am that I am. I am a spirit. I have to be a spirit, because I was created in the likeness of God. And God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's spirit, you all. It's spirit. It's spirit. It's not language. It's not culture. It's not kind. It's not country. It's spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I've identified two parts to one man. He is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. The body is where I get world consciousness As long as my body is alive, I have world consciousness. I can feel the breeze of the air conditioning blowing across the back of my neck because I am alive. And because I have neurons and neurological composition, the neurons let me know that the wind is blowing across the back of my neck because my body connects me with this world. But if my body were to die right now, dead people don't get cold. Because it is only through the flesh that I connect with the world. In my body, I have world consciousness. In my spirit, I have God consciousness. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's in my spirit that I have God consciousness. I'm going to say it again. It's in my spirit that I have God consciousness. Job says it this way, deep calling unto deep. At the noise of thy water spouts, so God have I called unto thee. Jesus said it this way, God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, not just in body, but in spirit and in truth because the Father seeketh such to worship him. Doesn't mean anything if you move your body and you don't move your spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you hath he quickened who were dead in the trespasses of sin. Means he quickened my spirit, because when Adam fell into sin, the spirit died. The day you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. The spirit died, but the physical man continued to live, and he thought he had beat the system. But if the spirit dies, it's only a matter of time before the outward man will perish too. Are you following me? All right, because I'm going somewhere. I want you to go with me. And if you miss my first steps, you're going to get lost when I get to the top of the hill. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And God breathed the breath of life into him, and he became, in Hebrew, a living nephesh, a living soul, aware of himself. In my soul, I have self-consciousness. I am aware of myself because of my soul. It's in my soul that I hold my memories, my emotions, my feelings, my attitudes, my dispositions, my personality. Is in my soul. It is in my soul that I house my memories. It is in my soul that I house my innovation, my creativity, my articulation, my reflections, my concepts, my ideologies, my idiosyncrasies are all housed in my soul. I am saved in my spirit. I am being saved in my soul. My soul, in the New Testament, Greek word is psyche, where we get psychology. I am being saved in my mind. Be transformed by the renewing of you got to wake up. Be transformed by the renewing of your, be transformed by the renewing of your, be transformed by the renewing of your, that means if I hope to change, I got to change in my head. If I don't change in my mind, it doesn't matter how I change my body. If I don't change in my mind, I have to be transformed in my mind. I'm already transformed in my spirit. I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not wishing to be saved. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm not wanting to be saved. I'm not tearing to be saved. I am saved right now. I'm saved in my spirit. My spirit has been quickened. Ephesians 2:1, it has been made alive. I am alive in my spirit. My spirit is alive. My body is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself a ransom for me. I am because he is. So am I in this world. Because of him, in him I live, I move, I have my being. His presence is to my spirit what oxygen is to my body. If I don't get it, I'll gasp and pass away. I'll asphyxiate. I must be in the presence of God. In his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Are you here with me today to understand that my spirit is only happy when I worship him in spirit? That's why you have to get into the house of God and worship him, because what you're really hungry for is not a flesh experience, it's a spirit experience. When you're in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. You cannot be anointed and be worried at the same time to save your life. You cannot be anointed and be angry at the same time. You cannot be anointed and be jealous at the same time, because wherever the spirit is, there is liberty. Wherever the spirit is, there is life. Wherever the spirit is, there is wholeness. Wherever the spirit is, there is breakthrough. Wherever the spirit is, you cannot be bound. They tied John up on the Isle of Patmos and locked him up in a grotto, in a prison, in a cell. And John says, I was locked up in my body, but in my spirit, I was in the come on, somebody. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit. There's a part of me that cannot be chained. There's a part of me that cannot be locked up. There's a part of me that cannot be tied down. There's a part of me that cannot be shot. There's a part of me that cannot be stabbed. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You can't stop me from getting in the spirit. You might not let me in the sanctuary, but you can't stop me from getting in the spirit. You can lock me up in jail and I can still get in the spirit. Paul and Silas were locked up in jail, and the Bible said at midnight they sang praises unto God, and suddenly there was an earthquake because their body was bound but the spirit was loose. Touch your neighbor and say, let me go. You can't hold me. You can't hold me hostage to your opinion, to your attitude, to your disposition, to your dislike. You can't hold me with your funny stares and your stubborn gazes. You can't hold me with your gossip and your rumors and your attitude. You can't hold me. If the jail couldn't hold Paul and Silas, you cannot hold me. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm free indeed. I'm free in my spirit. I'm free in my spirit to move. Shout yes, somebody. We must understand then that my spirit has been delivered. My mind, my soul, my psyche is being delivered. My body shall be delivered. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It is our blessed hope that my body shall be delivered. For the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also groan within ourselves, waiting for the, come on Bible scholars, waiting for the adoption, to wit, even the redemption of our body. So I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. I have the redemption of my spirit. My mind is being renewed day by day. Every day it is going through changes. Every day my mind is being transformed. My mind is important. The health of my mind, the health of my soul is important. Why? Because the Bible says it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. It is with the what? Mind. That we what? Serve the Lord. Say it again. It is with the mind. That we what? Serve the Lord. It is with the what? Mind. That we what? So if there's anything that the enemy wants to shut down, it would be my mind, because it is with the mind that I serve the Lord. It is with the mind that I embrace his promises. It is with the mind that I receive the word, the engrafted word of God. It is with the mind, as a man thinketh in his, so is he. So if I could think myself happy, I could think myself loose, I could think myself well, I could think myself whole, I could think myself to live it. If you change the way I think, you change the way I live. If you change the way I think, you change the way I love. If you change the way I love, if you change the way I think, you change the way I preach. If you change the way I think, you change my entire existence. It comes by the renewing of your mind. How can I renew my mind? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I don't hear it, I can't become it. I can't believe it. I can't receive it. That's why it's important that you get not, you can have a bad barber and you can survive. You can have a bad beautician and still make it. You can have a bad dressmaker and make it out alive. But if you got a bad preacher, you can't make it at all. Because how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach? Say they be said, I need the word. Because if the word changes my mind, the way that I think will change my body. There was a woman, the Bible said, who was bowed over for 18 years and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus saw her in the crowd and he called her to the front and he said something to her. Not woman, you're going to be loose. Not woman, you ought to be loose. Not woman, you can be loose. He gave her truth. I know your body doesn't act like it right now. I know your body is twisted and deformed, but in spite of what you see in your conditions, woman, thou art loosed. The moment he told her who she really was, her body reacted to what her mind had received. And the Bible says immediately she straightened up herself. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but somebody in here is immediately going to have a transformation that defies all physical extremities, all physical evidence, all receipts of humanity are about to be altered by the word. Jesus didn't wrestle with her. He didn't rebuke her. He just told her something that changed the way she thought. She thought she was crippled until he told her she was loose. And the moment she thought differently, her body acted differently. When you get word in your life, it changes the way you think, and your mindsets control your assets. That's why you got to have somebody that's preaching above you. I don't need nobody preaching below me, because I don't want to go to church to have a gravitational pull to go lower and lower. I want somebody to preach higher, because God is calling me to a higher place of praise, to a place of being and living and thinking that is important. God is calling me up, not down. Come up hither and I will show you great and mighty things. There are some people in this room, your circumstance might be down, but your thinking is up, and your thinking is so high that even your own family doesn't like you, because they don't understand why you think the way you think. But you can't help the way you think, because you think the way you think because of the word that you've been taught. And faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word. And he sent his word, and his word healed them. He didn't send his angels. He didn't send his seraphims. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word to change my mind. He sent his word to pull me out. The prodigal son was stuck down there in the hog pen, covered with mud, flies around his head, mosquitoes around his neck, gnats around his nose, the stench of slop coming up between his toes, a putrid environment altogether. And the Bible said the only thing that changed was not the pigs, it was not the gnats, it was not the slop. The only thing that changed on him was his mind. He came to himself and said, wait a minute, I'm better than this. You know what deliverance is? When you come to yourself and you recognize who you are and you say, I am a child of God. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout, I am! I am. I am. I am. I am. I am who I am, I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have. I can be what God says I can be. I can go where God says I can go. I can reach what God says I can reach. If God said I can have it, I can have it. If God says I'm blessed, you can't curse me. If God said I'm up, you can't bury me. If God said I'm loose, you can't bind me. Whatever God says I am, shall I am. Look at your neighbor and say, I am. I believe you are. I hope you are. I wish you are. I want you to be. But I know for a fact, I am. I am fearfully and marvelously made. I am right now. I am fearfully and marvelously made. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am more than a conqueror. I am blessed. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. I'm blessed in my uprising. I'm blessed in my town setting. I am blessed, and hell can't do anything about it. I'm blessed, and witches can't do anything about it. I'm blessed, and curses can't do anything about it. I'm blessed, and haters can't do anything about it. Shut up! I feel something about to happen in this place. I feel a tidal wave about to hit this place. I feel the galing, boisterous winds of a revolution about to hit this place. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit about to hit this place. I hear the power of the Holy Spirit is about to hit this place. And somebody's about to step into their destiny. Step into their purpose. Step into their anointing. Step into their I am-ness. Step into who they are in the kingdom. Step into the power of God. Step into the authority of God. Step into the anointing of God. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe it's somebody up in the balcony. Maybe it's somebody all the way at the top. Maybe it's somebody in the back. But whoever I'm preaching to, give me 30 seconds of crazy, ridiculous, spontaneous praise out of your belly, out of your mouth. Shut up!
If it is with the mind that I serve the Lord, then that explains why the mind is the battleground. Oh, I'm headed somewhere. The mind is the battleground. The devil doesn't need your car. He doesn't drive. He doesn't need the place you live in. He doesn't need a house. He doesn't need your outfits. He doesn't even need your flesh. You don't hear what I'm saying to you. The devil is after your mind. He will attack your flesh to upset your mind. He will attack your children to upset your mind. He will attack your business to upset your mind. The reason he's after your mind is because it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. And you can't serve the Lord confused and frustrated and in turmoil and upset and schizophrenic and bipolar and out of sorts and out of control. You must have a stable mind. Lay your hands on your head and say, keep my mind. Keep my mind.
if I'm ever going to get out of trouble, I'm going to come out ahead first. If I'm ever going to see a change, I'm going to come out ahead first. That's why when my mama had me, I didn't come out feet first, but I came out head first, because the Holy Ghost was trying to tell me that anytime you want to change, it's going to happen in your head before it happens in your body. And I'm talking to somebody in the room. It isn't happening in your body right now, but it's happening in your head. And God said, as soon as you get your head out, everything else is going to come out. And if there's somebody in this room that feels your head about to come out, give God a praise. If your head comes out, your body's coming out. You don't see, but God is changing people to your right and to your left. He's loosing people to your right and to your left. Didn't you hear those chains fall off? Did you feel those shackles fall? Did you feel that yoke broken? Did you hear those prison doors open up? Did you see that woman just leap out? Did you see that boy just climb out? Did you see God just emancipate? Did you see God just liberate? Did you see God just saturate? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Speak the word only, and my servant shall hear. Speak the word. In the beginning was the word. The way we think changes the way we live. So if I was the enemy and I couldn't stop you from being talented, I'd try to stop you from knowing it. If I couldn't stop you from being gifted, I'd try to stop you from knowing it. I'd let you play the instrument and then get in the car and wonder, are you good enough? I'd make you feel inadequate. I'd make you feel like you're an imposter. I'd make you feel like you're not enough, because I can't stop you from your gift, because God has given you the gift. But I'd make you doubt whether the gift is good enough to be received like it ought to be received. I can't stop you from having it, but I want to stop you from knowing you got it. That's why some of the most gifted people are the most tormented people. Some of the most gifted people are the most tormented people, because everybody's looking at your gift, but they don't see you. They don't understand that behind the gift there is a person, and the person is tormented because they have a gift, because the enemy doesn't want them to know who they are. He doesn't want them to know what they got. He doesn't want them to know what they can do, because until you believe it, until you think it, you can't operate in it. Your mindset controls your asset. So if you want to change your asset, all you got to do, all the prodigal son had to do was change his mindset. And then the citizen of that country could not hold him. The hog pen could not hold him. The slop could not hold him. The pen could not hold him, because he changed his mind. He immediately changed his circumstances. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the battleground between the two forces are over your mind. God says you are. Satan says you are not. God says you can. Satan says you cannot. God says you're able. Satan says you're incompetent. He's fighting to get your mind through your children, through your parents, through whatever is closest to you. That's where you get attacked the most, because the enemy doesn't mind you coming to church and acting all churchy as long as you go home and feel miserable. Who am I talking to? He is after your mind. Having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. Watch this. With the helmet of salvation. Put your hands on your head. Say, I got to protect my mind. This ain't no time for my mind to shift. This ain't no time for my mind to wonder. This ain't no time for me to be double-minded. This ain't no time for me to be worried about what you think about me. This ain't no time for me to be trying to please you. I gotta protect my mind! Cause if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen in my head first. If I'm gonna get out, I'm gonna get out in my head first. If I'm going to move, I'm going to move in my head first. When I start thinking it, I start being it. When I start thinking it, I start straightening myself up. When I start thinking it, the whole prison system is shattered by a thought. Now to my text. We are in the glorious, amazing, phenomenal, mysterious book of Hebrews. Perhaps more mysterious than Revelations itself. For Revelations immediately identifies its author and its writer. There is a difference between the author and the writer. Yeah. The writer is John on the Isle of Patmos, but the author is Jesus Christ. For Revelation 1 and 1 says that this is the last will and testimony and revelation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which he sent and signified by his servant John, which makes John a writer, but God an author. As wonderful, as splendid, as interesting, as amazing, as mystical, as the book the apocalypse you call Revelation, the unveiling is, I would suggest to you that Hebrews is at least equally as fascinating. It is so fascinating that most scholars, old scholars, think that it was written by the Apostle Paul. But no, if you read Hebrews, it does not have the tenor, nor texture, nor flow, nor capacity, nor the linguistical skill that we see in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. It doesn't even sound like Paul. I don't know for sure who wrote it. I suspect it was Apollos, because Apollos made even Paul uncomfortable. Paul was a thinker and an intellect, extremely intelligent, until Apollos came. And when Apollos came, he was so amazing that the Corinthian church went after Apollos. And they started saying, I am of Apollos. And others said, I am of Paul. And when Paul came again, he said, one man planted, another man watereth, but God gives the increase. Come on, somebody. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. Watch it. I came not to you with swelling words, nor eloquency of speech. I could have been more intellectual had I chosen to. But I humbled myself and counted all that I have known as dung, that I might win the excellency of Jesus Christ. What does it matter if some are Apollos and some are Paul? It is Christ that gives the increase. Why is he talking like that? Because Apollos is an intellect bar none. He is an expert in Jewish law and theology. He is articulate in the antiquities of his ancestries with such a dimension and such a capacity that Paul is intimidated. Paul is intimidated by Apollos. Apollos then writes the book of Hebrews, whose theme is the book of better things. Yes. He does a comparative analysis between Old Testament and New Testament theology. Between the old tabernacle and the new tabernacle. Between the old Levitical priesthood and the new priesthood of Christ, which is after the order of Melchizedek. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the Levitical priesthood is a shadow of which the Melchizedek priesthood is a reality. And Paul is saying, you're holding on to a ghost. You're grabbing a shadow. But why does one love a shadow when the person has come? Our traditions have made the word of God of no effect because we are happy with shadows rather than to embrace realities. Can I go deeper? God, who at sundry times in diverse manners has spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, who upholds all things by the word of his power. Oh, listen to that. That means that when God said, let there be, he didn't say, let there be light. He said, let there be light, light, light. And the reason the sun cannot fall is because the word, the preceding word of God, is still going out through the eons of time saying, let there be light, light. And he's upholding all things by the word of his power. And the sun is only shining because he said so. I said the sun is only shining because he said so. Let me prove it to you. When God created the earth and said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good, it was the first day. He didn't create the sun till the fourth day. So we have 3 days of unexplainable light. These 3 days give you a picture of who your Jesus is. He is unexplainable light. He is light that you can't see the source that it comes from. Oh, don't fool with me. You make me feel like preaching. He is light. And people are wondering, where did you get this kind of light from? It's coming from his word. It's not coming from my bank account. It's not coming from my friends. It's not coming from my car. It's coming from his word. Because he said, let there be light, 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 light. Light, light, light. It took the sun a while to catch up with the word. Here comes the sun 4 days later, hopping into place. God will do things and explain it later. He will bless you and then give you a job. He will heal you and then give you a doctor's report. Somebody in this room is about to get a miracle that don't make no sense. A crazy miracle. A stupid miracle. A ridiculous miracle. A miracle that transcends your understanding. It does not yet appear what you shall be, but God said, let there be, and you said, I am. When you said, I am, hell got nervous. When you said, I am, demons trembled. Because all the demons of hell have been trying to convince you that you are not. Not Jerry, do you hear me? All the demons of hell are trying to convince you that you are not. Lagos, did you hear me? All the demons of hell are trying to convince you that you are not. Woman of God, do you hear me? All the forces of hell are trying to convince you that you're not. Brothers, do you hear me? All the forces of hell, your childhood, your past, your brokenness is trying to convince you that you are not. What do you say?
I was doing a, sit, relax, I'm just talking to you. It's Saturday. We don't have to go hard till tomorrow. I was sitting with a big business leader negotiating a deal to build real estate development in our country for underserved communities. And we were discussing a deal that was quite mammoth. I'm reluctant to say how mammoth, but if you read, you already know. It means big. A lot. Bigger than me. And I kept saying, when are you going to send me the contract? Because I was taught that business is done by contract. And if we have no contract, we have no deal. Once you sign the contract in my country, the contract is binding. And it gives me peace that it is done. A friend of mine called me and he said, when you do $1 billion business, you don't do contracts. And I said, I didn't know. Because I've never done. He said, you're about to insult him. You're going to blow the deal. When he sent you the email, it was the contract. He said, when he sent you the email, you have his word on it. For you to ask for additional contract says you don't believe his word. He's already told you, I'm going to give you $1 billion to do what you got to do. You got my word on it. I told him, I don't want his word, I want the money. Why the money, or send me the contract? He said, no, believe the word and you'll get the contract and you'll get the money, but you can't get any of it until you believe the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Are you following me? Yeah, it's the integrity of the testator. So here we are in the book of Hebrews, and God says, I'm not used to contracts. I didn't sign a contract when I said, let there be light. I didn't sign a contract when I separated the firmaments above the waters from the firmaments that were beneath the waters. I didn't sign a contract when I created the greater lights and the lesser lights. I didn't sign a contract when I scooped you out of earth, breathed into you the breath of life, and you became a living soul. I'm not really used to contracts, but I noticed that it is a custom amongst men that the giving of an oath is the end of all strife. So I tell you what, even though I haven't done a contract for thousands of years, I'm going to do it so that you can have peace of mind that you've got my word on it, that if I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. He said, my problem is this, I look for something to swear by.
I look for something to swear by. I don't mind swearing, but God said I couldn't find nobody. Y'all didn't hear me. Let me try them over there. They didn't hear me. God said, I can't find nobody greater than myself. Normally, when you swear, you put up something that's greater than yourself. But finding no one greater than myself, I swear by my... You ain't got it yet, but it's coming. I will. I will bless you. Surely I will bless you. Surely I will bless you. You got my word on it, but I tell you what, Abraham, I'm going to enter into a covenant so that you can feel good about it. Surely blessings, I will bless you. Wait a minute. And multiplying, I will multiply you. God is not into addition, because addition moves too slow. If I write 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, draw a line, add it all up, I get 30. But if I multiply, all I got to do is say 5 times 6 is 30. God said, I'm not going to add to you because it's going to take too long. I'm going to multiply. I'm going to get you there quick because you don't have time to wait for me to add up the blessing. Lay hands on somebody and say, multiply. The more the enemy afflicts you, the more you multiply. The more they say you can't get there, the more you multiply. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, 10,000 at thy left side, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling place, because God has multiplied you. I want some multiplication people to give God a multiplied praise in this place, in this place, in this place, in this building. Multiply thee. That's a given. That's done. Contract or not, that's my promise, Abraham. I'm only doing the contract so you can chill out. Y'all know what chill out means? Okay. Yeah. So you can relax. Because, say it again. Relax. Chillax. Oh, y'all upgraded it, okay? I'm going to take that back home with me. You're going to chillax. You're going to chillax. You're going to chillax? You're going to chillax? You're going to chillax? This is a season in your life that your attitude has to be a chillax attitude.
I swear to you by two immutable things whereby it is impossible for me to lie, so that you can have a chillax attitude. Wait a minute. God cares about my attitude? Absolutely. Because where is my attitude? It's in my... So I cannot have a positive confession and a negative attitude, because my negative attitude will cancel out my positive confession. Let me give you Bible for it. With your lips you draw nigh unto me, but your heart is far from me. So there has to be an agreement between what I confess with my mouth and what I believe in my heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He said, I did all of this. That you might have an anchor. See, I didn't enter into the oath because I was insecure about my ability to keep my promise. I entered into an oath so you could chillax. So that you could have an anchor for your mind. An anchor. Remember last night? That when the ship got close to shore, the text said they dropped anchors because I'm too close to risk drifting away. I can't risk drifting away. So when God says, I did it so you might have an anchor for your soul, let me show you what an anchor does. An anchor doesn't stop the ship from moving. It stops it from drifting. The ship can still rock. It has a certain parameter that it can move in. But because you've dropped four anchors, north, south, east, west. South. Because you've had an anchor on every side, I can only go so far this way. 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 I can only go so far. Even when trouble comes, even when I'm scared, even when I'm worried, even when I'm nervous, even when I'm depressed, even when my family's in trouble, even when my home's in trouble, even when my children are in trouble, even when my marriage is in trouble, I can only go so far because God said, I have given you an anchor for your soul, not for your spirit, not for your body. I gave it for your mind. I gave it so that you could rest in the fact that I will not change my mind about you. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That doesn't mean that unrepentant people get gifts. That's true, but that's not what the text means. The text means that once God gives you something, he doesn't change his mind about it. Gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, I'm not going to give it to you and take it back. And give it to you and take it back. And give it to you and take it. If I gave it to you, that settles it. It is not performance-based. So when you walk in a room, walk like you're gifted. Did you see that young man blow that horn? He blew that horn. He didn't try to blow the horn. He didn't hope he blew the horn. He knew he could blow that horn. And he saved that last note because he knew he could hit that note. And then he took a breath and then he let us have it. He let us have it because he had it. You cannot give people what you do not have.
Come on, come on, come on with me. Come on with me. I wish you would try me. I'm ready for you. I can only give you what I have been given. I'm going to keep your mind in a parameter. While the world is going crazy, I'm going to give you a stable mind. Not because you couldn't drift, but I anchored you so you wouldn't drift. There are some people in this room that anybody who has been through what you've been through should have had a nervous breakdown. There are some people in this room who have been through things you said nothing about that would have killed anybody else, would have drove them crazy. But every time the devil thought he had you, God said, somebody holler, I'm still here. I didn't feel like I'd still be here. I didn't think I'd still be here. My emotions didn't say I'd still be here. But there was something that kept me from falling. There was something that wouldn't suffer my foot to be moved. There was something that stabilized me in the storm. Unshaken. That is real strength. Now fix up all this other stuff you want to. Fix it up. It looks good. I like it. I ain't nothing. You look good. But if your outward man is muscle bound and your inward man is frail and skinny, you will lose the battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not common, but mighty through God. Watch this. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down and every high thing that exalted itself against us. This is a mind fight. It's a mind fight. And all I have to do to win, I never could understand Ephesians 5 when it says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And having put on the whole armor of God and having done all to stand, it seems like if you put on the armor, you ought to be moving, fighting. He said it's going to take all this armor for you to stand. See, what I'm dramatizing is somebody's life. Somebody in this room, your life has been trying to pull you every which way, but it could only get you so far because you got an anchor. And every time it pulled you so far, you yank yourself back into place. And then it pulled you this way, you yank yourself back into place. And then it pulled you back this way, and you yank yourself back into place. And you're still standing. He did it all so you could have a stable mind. A stable mind is everything. When Satan comes to Eve in the garden, he's not after her eating the fruit. He's after her doubting her truth. Oh, you won't die the day you eat that. You'll be like him. Look at him trying to move her mind. Then she offers it to Adam, which is the real issue.
Because her eating it really didn't make no difference. According to the New Testament, she was deceived. When Adam ate of the fruit, all humanity fell. Why? Number one, he was not deceived. Here's Adam's dilemma. God gave me this woman. If I don't eat, she's going to die. And I'm going to live all on. Alone. So, give it here. I guess I'll die with you. He loved her so much that he knowingly ate the fruit, not so they could live together, but so they could die together. The last man, Adam, was faced with the same dilemma. They hung him high and stretched him wide. He could have called 10,000 angels and stopped the death, but he said, I'm not going to die with my bride. I'm going to die for my bride. The first man, Adam, came that we might have death. The second man came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to say something that's going to get me run out of time, but I'm going to say it. Jesus did not die so you could have church. Jesus died that you might have life. And some of us, even in the church, have stopped living. Because all we think God wants us to do is have church. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life. And have that life more abundantly. What is life? Life is how I think, how I live, how I love, how I laugh. Jesus comes to save my attitude, my mind, my thought life. He comes to fix me so that I can enjoy what he has given me. Yes, to enjoy my life, which is but a fleeting vapor. How can you be so saved and so miserable? Why are you saved and miserable when he came that you might have life? And have that life abundantly. He said, I want you to have a whole bunch of life. But you can't have a bunch of life if your mind isn't stable. So the enemy keeps picking at you through the things you love to torment your mind so that you can, how do you say, chillax. Yeah. So, this is for you. Everything that happened to you, every secret you cannot tell, every scar you cannot show, was the enemy trying to move you in your mind. So that you wouldn't feel worth what God wants you to have. You can't be unshaken if your mind is unstable. Sure, you can stand in the same spot. Sure, you can lift weights. You can bench press. But you can bench press and be crazy. Hell is after your mind. Now, I want to talk to a particular group of people. This is for everybody who's been through things they can't talk to nobody about. so sorry. I'm so sorry, because even church creates peer pressure. So here you are in the hospital and can't talk to the doctor. Because it becomes more important that you look like the rest of the people in the hospital than that you say, I have a boil and a bunion and a sore and a cut and a tear, and sometimes my knee hurts and sometimes I'm swollen and sometimes I feel like a nothing. Sometimes I think nothing good will ever come in my life, and sometimes I think nobody will ever really love me, not even those who say they do. And God says, I came to stabilize the way you think. Not about him. You're good at thinking about him. That's not the problem. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Which you got the through Christ down pat. Y'all got some wonderful through Christ. The problem is your I can. If you believe in God and you never believe in you, you'll have great religious services and no results. So the enemy can't stop you from believing God, because his work is finished. He stops you from believing in you because you got things to do. And in order to be able to do them, you have to think a certain kind of way. Lay your hands on your head. That's where the fight is. He's in your head. He's after your mind. If you change your thoughts, you change your life. That's where your innovation is, and that's where your creativity is, and that's where your dreams are, and that's where your hopes are, and that's also where your pain is. And you've got to decide who's going to drive, my pain or my promise. I choose this day not to allow my pain to drive my future, but the promises of God. The surely I will bless thee, and the surely multiplying I will multiply thee, is going to order my next 10 steps. I'm getting ready to make some moves. And when I start making some moves, I cannot make them with a bad attitude. Press in on your head. I drive out iniquity. I drive out fear. I drive out pain. I drive out depression. I drive out vulnerability. I drive out frustration. I drive out agony. Now press in. I press into your head love and peace and power and creativity and new thoughts and fresh ideas. And today I stand here in this place before this people in this building for no other purpose than to make sure that you have a stable mind. Stay right there. God said, build it. God said, bring it forth. God said, go for it. God said, go after it. God said, I've given you the land to possess it. God said, no good thing will I withhold from you. All the days of your life, I will be with you always. You will always prevail. By this shall you know that I am with you. For your enemies shall not triumph over you. And this day, I set your mind in an anchored place. Whatever's been getting to you is getting ready to move back, because God's got you anchored in. And with your hands on your head and your mouth wide open, I want you to shout a victorious praise with all of your might.
Yeah. Keep doing it. Do it online. Do it in your house. Do it in your living room. Do it in your kitchen. Do it. I got my mind back. I got it back. A stable mind. Not double minded. Not twisted. A stable mind.
Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm getting ready to take over. I'm not taking sides, I'm taking over. I'm not taking sides, I'm taking over. I'm taking over. I'm taking over my peace. I'm taking over my joy. I'm taking over my contentment. I'm taking over my creativity. I'm taking over my discernment. I'm taking it over. I'm taking it over. I'm taking it over. I'm taking it over. Tell your neighbor, I'm taking it. I'm taking it over. I'm taking it over. I'm taking over my house. I'm taking over my children. I'm taking over my parents. I'm taking it over. I'm taking it over. The Bible says that hope is an anchor for the soul. How many still have your hope? Question. Hands up. Question. What are you hoping for? Faith is the substance of things hoping for. What are you hoping for? Don't be afraid of it. What are you hoping for? Is it for your children? Is it for your house? Is it for your marriage? Is it for your body? Is it for your tumor? What are you hoping for? I believe God for what you are hoping for. Speak it out loud. Say it out loud. What you hope for, what you expect, what you believe, what you're fighting for, what you're standing for, what you will not take down for, what you will not draw back from, say it out loud. Let your ear hear your mouth confess. This is what I expect out of my life. I don't care if it's the last week of my life. I will see this in the land of the living. I will be blessed. I will be up. I will be the head. I will overcome. I will flow in my gift. I will flow in it. I want that boy with that horn to blow that horn for me, buddy. Blow that horn. I will flow in it. I will flow in my gift. I will let it flow. That horn makes a sound because he blows in it. And God is going to send a wind into this place. And he's going to blow in you. And you're going to produce a sound that you never produced before. Lift your head and open your mouth and let that sound come out of your mouth. Let it flow. God is blowing. I can't hear you. He's blowing! Blow the trumpet inside! Blow! Blow!
you're ready to march. You sound like you're ready to march. You sound like you're ready to take over territory. You sound like you're ready to run through troops and leap over walls. Shout yeah!
Say, you better be here tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to kill some snakes. I said, tomorrow we're going to kill some snakes. Come on, where's that shout now? I need that shout. I need that shout. I need that shout. In the morning, his instructions were clear. Take now thy son, thine only son, and go to a place I will show you. So he got up, got the horses and the wagon, woke up Isaac. Dad, where are we going? We're going yonder to worship. And when he was traveling, he was looking for something with a no address, no description. What you looking for, Daddy? I'll know it when I see it. That's somebody's word. You're looking for something. You can't describe it. You can't explain it. But you're going to know it when you see it. The Bible says when he was 3 days off, he looked up and saw it afar off. I said, that's the place. Once you see the place, you can let the people go. Y'all stay here with the asses. Me and the lad are going yonder to worship. Once I see the place, I can let things go that I thought I needed. And I go all the way up and I tie down the boy on the altar, fully prepared to give God my all. He raises his hand to slay his son. His son. That's unthinkable. To slay his son. And he's so going to do it that God has to speak to him again. And that's what's wrong with the church. We're still operating off of the first call. We are operating off of what God used to say, which is killing our sons. Old theology will always kill your son. Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Behold, I have a ram in the thicket. In other words, you have given me what you got, and now I'm going to give you what I have. You didn't even see that the ram was coming, but my hidden treasure is going to be revealed in your gift. Hear me good. I'm going to challenge you to take something in your hand that hurts to give. Because if you can't feel it, God can't either. And we're going to go into a season of giving. And as we give what's in our hand, God is going to release what's in his hand. Thank you to the three people that said amen. Amen. See, because you got to be in agreement with this word to get this word, that if you give what's in your hand, God is going to give what's in his hand. You're watching online. There's no mistake that you're tuned in. That's it. We're streaming live and you couldn't walk away. And you've delayed, you've been texting people, but you can't get away because you got to watch this, because this is your breakthrough seed. And I want you to get your breakthrough seed in your hand. And we're going to offer it up to God like Abraham walked up on the hill with Isaac. And when we raise our hand to offer it, God is going to show us rams that we didn't know were coming up the backside of the mountain to meet us at this place. You're at the right place at the right time with the right people for the power of God to move from the balcony to the floor, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. We're going to drop anchors in the ground in our giving, and we have to do it now while the anointing is flowing, while the Spirit of God is moving, while the Spirit of God is moving, while the Spirit of God is moving, while the Spirit of God is moving. If we don't do it while the Spirit is moving, it will lose its impact. The real impact is to do what you do when the anointing is flowing. To do it when the anointing is flowing. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Immediately he received his sight. Immediately she came forth. Immediately Lazarus came out the grave. There is a timing factor that when God says move, you have to move right then. Move right then. Move right then. Move. I know the other voice is saying don't give. That's his job, to try to get your mind to shift. But we just stabilized our mind. Unto thee, our King, we sow. We plant. And all I want to do, all I want to do, all I want to do is pray over your seed. According to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your faith, so be it unto you. Stand with your seed in your hand. Stand with your seed. I want everybody to take advantage of this moment to sow into the kingdom of God a sacrifice. I cannot imagine what it would be to walk my son up the hill. But God is not asking for our sons. But he is requiring a sacrifice. Sacrifice on the level of your faith. The information is online. You got to represent. You got to represent. You got to represent. You got to represent. I'm getting ready to pray. I'm giving you a moment to get good seed in the ground. You know the ground is good. You know your seed is good. When good seed meets good ground, good things begin to happen. There are some things that God is about to do. You need to get your seed in the ground right now. And we offer up to you. The sacrifice. it up before you pass it. Lift it up. Hold it right there. We're going to pick that up in a minute. Father God, you see every lifted hand, every lifted heart, every lifted home, every lifted hope, every lifted dream, every lifted idea. Every lifted, innovative, creative thing that they are hoping for, don't have the right contacts, don't have the right people, don't have the right resources, but they got seed. They got a thought. They got an idea. They got a hope. They've got a dream. I pray after this seed is sown that you will make connections. You will make the right connections with the right people to do the things you need to do to go where you need to go. God said he's going to give you connections, and they're not going to be like your old connections. It's not going to be the traditional things. The traditional doors are not going to work. The normal ways are not going to work. God said, I'm going to do a new thing in you. I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to be a fresh thing. It shall spring forth. It shall come up. It shall come to pass. Father, I bless this seed as it goes into the ground. Bless it in Jesus' name. Increase. Shout amen. Pass your seed to the right. Pass your seed to the right. Not your phone. Just your seed. If you pass your phone, somebody will think that's their harvest. Yeah. Pass it to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right. Into the house. Standing for one moment, I have something the Holy Spirit said do. Listen to this carefully. Everybody in the building, hold the music. Everybody in the building, listen to this carefully. You have been tormented. You have been plagued. There have been moments you thought your life was not worth living. There have been moments you've had thoughts. Negative, detrimental, bad thoughts. There are people who need you and people who love you, but there are moments it has gotten so tough. The enemy has hammered your head so hard. You thought, I cannot live anymore. And I know it's going to take courage. But the Holy Ghost said, if you come and stand right there, that yoke will be broken off of your life. Do you want your image, or do you want to be free? Come now to this altar. Now. To this altar. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Your breakthrough is here. Your breakthrough is here. The torment you have endured has been excruciating. It has been so painful. The absence of anyone to talk to or go to or reach to has been overwhelming. The fact that you are here is a miracle. God brought you to this altar. God brought you here to this altar so that you might be free. from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. The Spirit of the living God is moving through this altar, touching his sons and his daughters. Yes, Lord. The Lord told me to rebuke the spirit of suicide. God said to rebuke it. God said the spirit of suicide is around this altar. I rebuke the spirit of suicide. I don't know where it is, but God said it's got to go. It's got to go from this altar. It's got to go from this place. It's got to go from this place. It's got to go from this place. It's been tormenting you. It's been following you. It's been flirting with you and haunting you, but it's got to go. The spirit of depression has got to go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's got to go. It's a spirit of depression around this altar. It's got to go. It's got to go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God told me to rebuke the spirit of anger. You are angry. You have been angry for years about many things that happened to you. You have been angry about them. And though you praise your hands and though you praise the Lord, you haven't been able to shake the anger. But shake yourself. It's going to come off right now in the name of Jesus. It will break by the power of the Holy Ghost. It will break right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know who you were before, but God said you're never going to be the same. Again, after today, there's going to be a change in the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you move, the way you flow, the way you flow, the way you flow, the way you flow, the way you flow. I declare your liberty. I declare your liberty. We're not going to wait till tomorrow to celebrate liberty. We're going to set it off today in the name of Jesus. That woman is loose. That woman is loose. That young man is loose. That young man is loose. That one is loose. That one is loose. In the name of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy, that one is loose. The Holy Ghost is then the Bokoso. He may go Sunday, no Gosa. Loosed in the name of Jesus. That's right. 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 It's done. It's done in the name of Jesus. It's done. 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 Holla, 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 holla. Open your mouth. It's gone. It's gone. You got a right to rejoice. You got a right to rejoice. It's been on you, but it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. You got a right to praise him. You got a right to rejoice. You got a right to rejoice. You got a right, 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 a right. Come here. Come here. Yeah, come here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come here. Come here. Come through. Come through. You got a right. 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 You're right. God told me to confirm it by laying my hands on you that it is for you. It is for you. It's a breakthrough. My laying my hands on you is a sign that the yoke is destroyed. Ah, it's destroyed in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Praise him, praise him. A few more minutes, a few more minutes, a few more minutes. And the Kosete Kamaba. It is a man. It is. Lift your hands and worship him. The anointing is coming on this place. 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 The anointing. The anointing. And we are to you,
the sacrifice is free.
from the last time.
This is not just a sacred moment. It's a sacred weekend. This is not just a sacred weekend. This is a sacred victory. And before we release the service this afternoon, a couple of little things. Be here as early as 8:30 tomorrow morning so you can park and make your way into the place that God has appointed, the climax of the blessing. But don't come alone, come with a handful of your friends, frenemies, and the likes. And then the benediction will sound in a moment, but we don't want you to rush off because we're going to have 15 minutes of victory praise with Moses Bliss, Nathaniel and Onos. Because you eat bread, you eat meat, but you need to wash it down with the wine of the Holy Ghost. Allow me to acknowledge the esteemable presence of the First Lady of Lagos State, ably represented by Dr. Grace Igbokwe. You're most welcome. Most welcome. And God bless you. Please join me and receive for the benediction a dear friend. Any friend or son of bishop is my friend.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.